Dark on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
With Ron Compton, the hacker Ryan Green with you. It is Hacker After Dark on a Thursday night here in Jacksonville. 1010XL and 92.5 FM. The NBA draft ongoing right now. We are six picks in, including the Orlando Magic taking Jonathan Isaac from Florida State at number six overall. Let's check in with my friend Mark Wise, ESPN analyst. You see Mark all over the ESPN family of networks during college basketball season. He joins us here on 1010XL. Mark, thank you for staying up with us tonight, my friend. How are you?
I got to tell you, Hacker, there's not many people that could interrupt me watching the NBA draft to be on the air with. You know, you're interrupting my my drinking game with the NBA draft. I know you've gotten a part of that. And my calling is every time they say a guy can guard multidimensionally defensively. You know, Josh Jackson came on there and said he can guard 1 through 4. No, he can't. No, he can't at the next level. Guys can't guard multiple positions. Drink up.
You know, Mark, I saw Jonathan Isaac just get drafted. Leonard Hamilton is there with him up in New York. Florida State fans, obviously very familiar. For people here in Jacksonville that have an interest in the Orlando Magic, what type of player did they just draft in Jonathan Isaac?
Well, Isaac is a long-term investment. He is not going to be an instant 12-point-a-night guy in the NBA. His offensive skills are not that far along. He's not going to stretch the floor for you. He's a freakish, and I mean freakish, athlete who can impact the game above the rim on both ends of the floor. I just thought the Magic, because of their offensive needs, need to go for a shorter-term fix. To me, that would have been Markkanen or Monk in this position.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Malik Monk out of Kentucky. Gator fans remember him very, very well. Mark Wise here with us. Mark, let's start at the very top. I thought I was an idiot, you know, 2 months ago, and I start seeing these mock drafts, and I see this guy Markelle Fultz.
Right.
And I thought to myself, who on earth is this guy? I thought I knew a little something about college basketball. Well, Markelle Fultz played on a Washington Husky team that didn't win 10 games last year. So I would imagine, Mark, there's a lot of people that have no idea who Markelle Fultz is. You know more about college basketball than anybody I know. Tell us a little bit about Markelle Fultz.
Well, he's the complete package at the point. He can score multi-levels. He can score from the three-point line. He can create his own. He can get to the rim. You know, I've heard a lot of talk about this draft, guys, about there's really not a franchise-type player, and I just don't understand that because the depth at point guard in this draft is unmatched, in my opinion, from what we've seen the last 25 years. You know, we're going to have a Dennis Smith picked here shortly as the 9th or 10th pick, most likely. He'll be the fourth point guard. If we were talking about Dennis Smith in any other draft, he would be an elite pick at the point position. That's how good Markelle Fultz is. That's how good Lonzo Ball is. That's how good De'Aaron Fox is. This is an elite draft at the point guard position.
Hey, Mark, Ron Compton here. Hey, you know what? Which leads me to my question of you is this. I was going to ask, if you get your crystal ball out, and I'm with you. I think it's a very deep, at least top-heavy draft class in the point guard position. 5 years from now, we're looking back, and Mark Wise's expert opinion, Fultz, Ball, okay, De'Aaron Fox, and, of course, as you mentioned, Dennis Smith. We look back upon the 2017 draft 5 years, 5 years from now. Give us the best guy in your opinion.
I think the best guy is going to be Lonzo Ball. Everybody's picked apart his cross-handed shooting, if you will. And I love Jay's analysis tonight. He's Jim Furyk in terms of a golf swing, in terms of his shooting form. But that's worked out pretty well for Furyk the last time I checked. So, you know, a guy that shoots 42% from beyond the arc, he's got super size at 6'6". He sees the game one pass ahead. So stop and think about that. How many players do you know that see the game not the next pass, but the pass after that? And so many times when you watch him play, as the ball is coming to him, he already has a concept of where the ball's going next. He is a fabulous, just a unbelievable talent. I just wish we didn't have to listen to Dad.
Yeah, and LeVar's had a lot to say tonight, as you know, Mark, in watching this draft coverage already. Mark Wise here with us, ESPN analyst. You know, Mark, talk about what Boston did at number three. We obviously mentioned Fultz at one, obviously right. Talking about Lonzo Ball at number two. Boy, I love Jason Tatum out of Duke. I think he is a terrific, terrific player. The fact that a team like Boston gets a talent like Tatum is somewhat unfair, thanks to the Brooklyn Nets and their horrific trading over the last decade. But Boston adding Tatum, that's a big deal, is it not?
Well, it's two things. They're drafting, not only are they drafting Jason Tatum, they're also drafting the future on Isaiah Thomas at the point. That's what that tells me, because if they had kept that pick, then most likely they're taking Fultz or they're taking Lonzo Ball. Can you imagine Lonzo Ball not going to L.A.? I'd like to just entertain that for a few minutes. Jason Tatum is probably the most NBA-ready player in the draft, meaning you can throw him the ball in isolation like they do in the NBA and let him go to work, and he can produce and score. He'll be a double-figure scorer before long, even in the Celtics' rotation.
You know, and I'll tell you what, he would have been my number one guy. We were talking before the show tonight, and I love Jason Tatum's game, and he would have been my number one pick if I were a GM. But, hey, Mark, give me an under-the-radar guy that, well, obviously that would be, say, a lottery pick that not many people are talking about that you foresee having a high ceiling moving forward.
You mean that has to be a lottery pick or anywhere
no,
in the draft?
Say a first-round pick. Give us a guy that would go in the first round.
I think there are a couple, and I don't know if they're going to go in the first round or not. Caleb Swanigan from Purdue. I don't get all the problems associated with him. I look at Swanigan, and I see Zach Randolph. Last time I checked, Zach Randolph is pretty good in the association. Mm-hmm. Shimmy Ogile from SMU, who was originally went to Duke and then transferred to SMU. It's in the league that I cover. I think somebody's going to get a steal in this 6'7" wing guy. And then this is testament to how deep this point guard class is, my last guy. Have you guys heard anything in the draft about Sindarius Thornwell?
That's a great
point.
Wow,
not at all.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think he's going to be a second-round steal for somebody as a backup point guard.
Yeah, of course, the Gators remember him all too well from South Carolina.
Yes.
No question about that. ESPN analyst Mark Wise here with us on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM. You know, Mark, kind of a broad question for you, and this has been brought up a lot here in recent days leading into the draft. Should there be a rule like there is now where players cannot go straight from high school to the NBA? Some people are talking about not making it a one and done, but making it 2 years. Some people want just what LeBron and Dwight and Kobe did, going back to the rule where you can go straight from high school to the league. Mark, you're very close to college basketball and covering it. What's your opinion on that?
Well, this is a complicated issue because even the commissioner has come out and said that this is not working. Now, what he's talking about, will it work for the first five picks tonight? Sure it will. But will it work for the masses, for the number of bodies that are coming out after being one and done? I think there's a couple of things in play here. I'm okay with two and done. I think it provides a little academic integrity to the process. I wish, if you were going to go two and done, what's wrong with like what baseball does, not the three-year deal, but the fact that the draft is tonight, And the baseball draft was last week, I think.
Right.
And
yes.
Guys can go through that process after the draft and still come back to school. There's got to be a way we can figure out that these guys can get drafted, go play summer league, let their expenses, don't sign a contract, blah, 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 but allow them to come back to school. I think there's a way we could work that out. If they could work that out, I think the two and done has a chance, but it's a uphill climb in my opinion.
You know, Mark, what worries me about the two and done is you're going to start seeing more Brandon Jennings-like guys.
Oh, no question.
You're going to see guys that say, you know what, the heck with this. I'm not going for 2 years. I'm going to go to Europe. I'm going to make a little coin, and then I'm going to come back and be draft eligible with some money in my pocket.
That's okay. I think that's a way for allowing these young people to earn money in their craft. I don't have any problem with that. Even if the numbers increase in that venue, even if the D League, what is that now, the G League, expand rosters and expand salaries, I'm okay with all that. But the guys that go to college, why not keep them there for 2 years?
Yeah. Well, and no, look, I'm all about college basketball, Mark, as you are as well. I love the game. I think one and done has been very good for college basketball. Without
one and done,
Florida would not have ever had. Yeah, Florida would not have had Bradley Beal.
That's correct.
Kevin Durant would have never gone to Texas. Oden and Connolly would have never gone to Ohio State. So I have no problem with one and done because I think that has helped college basketball far more than it has hurt it.
I couldn't agree more. And for every one-and-done story, I got to tell you, I wish we had more stories like Derek White, who I hope you will hear at the end of the first round, maybe early in the second round from Colorado. I did their NIT game this year. A guy that was in Division II his first 3 years in college and then transferred to Colorado. Just a wonderful story. And, you know, speaking of the one-and-dones, the biggest question marks, and maybe you and Ron have talked about this already, but I think the biggest question marks in this draft are the bigs that are one and done. Who's going to take Giles with his health issues from Duke? And who's going to take Bam Adebayo and Allen, Jared Allen from Texas because of their offensive issues? You know, this is not your grandfather's NBA. They're asking big guys to go out on the floor. These guys can't do that. And the brute guys, the Dwight Howards of the world, they don't have a spot in the NBA right now. So I think, to me, those are the biggest question marks in this year's one and dones are the big guys.
Just a couple more moments here with Mark Wise, ESPN analyst. Obviously, Mark, you certainly know a lot as well about the Florida Gators. Wanted to end on a couple Gator-related questions. Number one, Devin Robinson. Probably will get his name called tonight in round two. At least that's what the mock drafts are indicating.
Right.
What is your opinion on Devin Robinson in the NBA?
Well, you know, at the combine, he did not test out very well athletically. And everybody goes, what do you mean he jumps off a trampoline? And he does. He has great explosiveness. But he's not a lateral guy. And they test all of that at the combine. His handle is a little shaky. I think if he's going to make the league, it'll be 2 or 3 years down the road. He's got some improvement to do with his handle, with his ball handling, with his decision-making when he has the basketball in his hands, not known as a guy that can create his own look. So he's got some work to do.
Mark, when the dust settled on the Gator basketball season, Robinson declared for the draft. Igbunu, I know we had talked about this a lot. He is coming back, probably will be ready to play around January. Obviously, Mike White has gotten a contract extension. What was your thoughts on how Florida looks now with all the guys leaving, all the guys coming back? How does that roster take shape, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, I'm disappointed I didn't get a contract extension, but that's neither here nor there.
Wow.
You know, Igbunu, I felt like, didn't have a choice. No one is going to take a chance on him because of the timing of his injury. It was so late in the year, and they've got to see more things from him from a skill perspective on the offensive end. That, to me, is one of the biggest question marks I have looking ahead, because are you going to play November and December without him and then change the dynamics when he comes back in January and February? So that'll be interesting to see how that parlays. You know, Chioza, after the miracle shot, now is the era incumbent at the point guard position, and how does he handle that spotlight? I see Kayvon Allen only getting better and better. You're going to love Jalen Hudson coming in as the transfer from Virginia Tech. He'll be, I think, a little bit better version than Canyon Berry. So from that standpoint, they've got some good pieces, and one of the reasons why people are awfully high on them in the summer. But let's remember, how many banners have they hung in the summer?
That's true. Not very many.
They don't
many,
hang
no.
any. You know what they do with banners in the summer? They take them down.
Yeah. No question about it. Mark, leave us with this. Louisville got the business from the NCAA as far as vacating wins. The whole situation there is just very uncomfortable, not a good look, certainly. What does that do, not only to that program, Mark, in your opinion, but really to the legacy of one Rick Pitino?
Well, I think his legacy takes a hit. I don't think there's any question about that. And I got to tell you this, even though I just made a joke about the banner coming down, I don't think it's that big a deal. And I'm talking about a program from a program perspective. If you want to punish a program, and isn't that what the NCAA should be doing, punishing coaches and programs? And if it involves players, yes, you punish the players. But so many times we see these situations arise where the players are 4, 5, 6 years removed. You must do something that impacts recruiting, in my opinion. So with that being said, I thought Pitino got off light. I think taking the banner down does not impact recruiting. They've got the best recruiting class coming in they've had in the last 5 years. So it obviously did not impact recruiting. So I would be much more in favor of the head coach getting a longer suspension.
Hey Mark, one more question. Hack was talking about Gator basketball. One guy that transferred in that I want to ask you about is Igor Kolakoff, the guy from Rice. He was just an absolute sharpshooter that's transferring in as well as a grad transfer.
Yeah, they're calling him Threegor.
It's a good nickname to have.
That's going to be his value to the team. He's going to be the stretch guy. He's going to give another three-point threat. He'll probably be a little bit closer to the Canyon Berry role than Hudson will. Actually, Hudson will remind people, I think, of maybe a P.J. Dozier from South Carolina a little bit with his length and his ability to play that way. Threegor, on the other hand, he's a catch-and-shoot guy. And he's going to be that guy that's coming off the bench 15 to 20 minutes a game. He's going to get up 7 or 8 shots a game. 6 or 7 of those will be from beyond the arc, and that will be his added value.
Mark Wise of ESPN, always kind enough to join us here on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM. Mark, you only missed, 3 picks, I believe. Go back into the recliner.
No, but I've missed 2 drinks already with the guys can guard 1 through 4.
Hey, Mark, you're the man. Appreciate you joining us, buddy. College basketball will be back before we know it. We'll do it again real soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Mark Wise here with us on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM.